Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
It's good to be here today, isn't it? Terry's right. You know, happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Him. And that's true. And we want to be a joyful people. I have another announcement. Russell, are you still there? Wave at me. Are you still meeting today? The youth leaders, youth workers, youth leaders, immediately after service, you're going to have a meeting over here on this side. So make sure after the service, all the youth leaders and helpers and workers go right over here. Pastor Russell has a few words for you. Have you had a good week?
Yes.
Yeah, I've had a good week. I've had a busy week, but it's been a good week. And COVID's had a better week. The numbers are going. Listen to me. The numbers are going down. The numbers are going down. And I noticed that with a week and a half, the numbers are stabilizing and going down, but going down. And I thank God for that. How about you? I do. I thank God for that. How many of you been praying for that? I mean, for it to go, not just for it to go down, but to go away. You know, and that's what we're involved in, and the church is involved in it, whether you think we are or not. But the church is involved with that, and And what we want to do is make sure that we are we're following God in the midst of whatever we're going through, whether it's a storm or whether the darkness, whatever it is, that we're following Him. But you know, even in the midst of this, I'm saying, well, surely, the media is going to have something good to say. Joke's on me. I said, surely, really, I did. I said, surely. But you know, two things came out this week. Everybody say the word narratives.
Narratives.
See, a narrative doesn't depend on the truth. It might not even be connected to the truth. It could, but it might not even be connected to the truth, because all a narrative is trying to convince you of what I want to convince you of. And I'll use rhetoric to do that. And rhetoric is an overuse of exaggeration to prove a point. Yeah, it's like, look, by the way, you know, they used to say, you know, we had 2,500 here today speaking evangelistically. Just a little bit of a stretch, just a little bit of a pulling on it. But see, with all the positive things that I see that God's doing, the narrative is not indicating that. Here's the narrative. Here's one. This came from the CDC. Prepare for the worst fall season ever. Numbers are going down. Everything. Prepare. And these are the people that for our center of diseases and prevention and all that. So these are the people we're seeing that, hey man, it's getting better. It's getting better. It's getting better. Prepare for the worst fall season ever. What's the other one, Pastor? Well, here's the other one. Prepare for a dark winter. The numbers are, hey, don't get happy. Don't be joyful. Don't fret. Don't be hopeful. listen, how many of you heard those? How many of you heard those two or saw those two written? I mean, I heard it on more than one channel. Worst fall ever. Get ready for it. Well, I'm not getting ready for the worst fall ever. And I'm not even getting ready for a dark winter. See, that's what they say. Let me tell you what. See, that's the CDC. Let me tell you what the BIBLE says. Woo! Listen to this. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the whole earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. See, this is, I don't know what everything else is, but I know what this is. I don't know what's around the corner, but I know what this is. See, you can frame your perspective like this. What is your frame of perspective? You know, a lot of people say, well, what's your perspective? Listen, your perspective doesn't matter near as much as what's framing your perspective. Deal with this, and then the perspective will be what it needs to be. Y'all with me? What's framing how you see things? What is the framework of your perspective, of how you're looking at things? It could be this, or it could be even this. I didn't have a bigger one. It could be this. You know, he could be a little crooked. You know, it can be this. This matters. How you see things, you're going to see things no matter where you are. But how your perspective is framed is going to be how you see things. If I listen to the CDC, I'm hunting me a hole. Worst fall ever, I'm going somewhere where there's not a fall. I'll go somewhere where there's always a summer. Dark winter? Mm-mm. No. No, this is God's method of getting the church ready. God is getting the church ready to be in a position. What position is that? I'll tell you what position that is. That comes out of Matthew chapter 5, and it says, let your light shine, so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify. See, you're not doing the works so you can have their attention. So that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. So what is this? See, God's position for the church is to be ready to be set on a hill. We're going to the mountains, guys. We're going to the hillsides. We're not going to be under the bushel and under the basket any longer. You have to kick that man-made woven stuff off of you and let the light so shine. Arise. See, notice that he didn't say arise and reflect. He didn't say that. He said arise and shine. And what I like really about this passage, it says, nations will come to your light. Yeah. Why is that? Because I'm not a reflection of who he is. Listen to this. I am who he is. Are y'all hearing that? You know, our framing of our perspective, how do we see this thing? He wants us to be able to have the joy, have the hope, have all the things that he says for us to have. So when we arise, see, the church has been laying down way too much. The church is arising. He says, I want you to arise. I want you to get up, and I want you to be seen. And not only that, he said, what I'm going to show you is I'm going to show you the hillside where you will be at this place where I put you, that nations will see the brightness of your rising. Or you can have a perspective that is another. It can be tied. It can be another frame. And you can have this perspective. Y'all ready? Okay, let's have that perspective. Roll it to me, honey. So you can have this perspective. Is this a good perspective? Yeah, it looks like it's full of joy to me. But it can also have a perspective that all I'm going to do is have fun. It can have either one. Mine's going to be like, it's the joy of the Lord that makes me strong. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the happiness of who He is. Boy, no, I'm not going to do it. Don't be. Get it out of your head. Get it out of your head. I will do this. Come here. Come on. I will do this. No, I won't either. See, it's all about perspective. You can have a different perspective about things, right? But it's all about who you're listening to. What are you taking in is going to frame what you see. You have to be very careful who is framing your perspective. I thought I stepped on my shoe string, but I don't have strings in my shoes. Why did I tell you? I don't know. Just have to. But that's not all. Miss Vicky, will you come up? Can you come up? Jody Ann, will you come up? Come on up. I used to do this with my little grand youngins back yonder when they were little. I want both of y'all to stand right here. Stand both of y'all, stand right here, pointing this way. Now, I'm going to put something. Now, you get beside her. You can get beside her there. Yeah. I'm going to hold your hand out. I'm going to put three things in your hand. That's three. Don't drop them. Now, I'm going to put. What are you laughing at? I'm going to put three things. I'm going to put three things in your hand. Don't drop them, Vicky. Now, what we want to do is Jody Ann, I want you to pick one of them and see if you can put it in this. See if you can put it in this bag. Okay, you ready? Hey, oh, you did a good job. Woo, that's good. That is good. That's good. Boy, she did good. That's good, man. That's great. All right, Vicky, see if you take one, just one. All right, and throw yours. That didn't make it. Jody Ann, you have to show her how to do it. I tell you, she's good at this game. I tell you what, you have to show Vicky how easy it is. I want you to turn around and throw it over your head. You ready? Turn all the way around. Throw it back over your head. That's good. Okay. Vicky, you got two, right? You got two.
Yes.
All right. I'm gonna get a little closer for you. All right, put it in there. What are you putting your hands on here for? No. What? Oops, Vicky, you dropped one. You dropped it. Vicky, here. I tell you what, you touch it. Touch it. Okay. Now, she's touched it, so now you can throw it after she's touched it. But I'm going to get back here. All right. Come on. Come on, Vicky. Vicky. You can do it. Come on. You can do it.
That is good. That is great. Give them a hand. Y'all did so good. Y'all did so good.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. That is so good. It's what? Explain. Explain why Vicky didn't and she did. Explain it. Follow through. Here's the follow up. Yeah. Here's the follow up. I used to do that with the little ones, didn't I? Israel and Haman used to do that. They'd want to do that a lot. But I can't do that with them now. You know why? They're not the same. They're not of the same reference mindset than they were then. So what's the difference? They have experienced truth instead of a pretend truth. Why? Because they've grown up with truth being taught to them instead of deception, instead of a make-believe or a pretend thing or a narrative that suits someone else and not them. See, the narrative of what I was saying to Jody Ann, she liked it. Vicky, not so much. Why is that? She couldn't hit the bag. She couldn't put it. She just couldn't do it. You know, well, that was the thought process. That was the belief system. Because that was the narrative that was being told to her to get her to believe, I'm not any good at this. Or it's no use. And even to the point to where she said, this is rigged. I cannot believe that she would look straight into her pastor's face and say, you've rigged it. Did it matter? Yeah, it matters. It matters to what you're hearing, and it matters to what you're taking in. You know, and young people have this situation all the time. Why? Because they hear things that are not coming from a truthful perspective. And then they're able to frame what they see and what they think they see based on what they're experiencing or based on what they have been told by someone else other than someone's telling the truth. Y'all get it? Okay. Y'all want to know how, right? Some of y'all already know how. Y'all already know how. Don't tell them. You know, y'all may want to do this with, listen, y'all may want to do this with some of your neighbors, adult neighbors. I hear that where you live, it's a little slow. Never mind. Okay, here's how you do it. So you pick the bag up like this, and then you snap your fingers. Everybody say, wow. Yeah. 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 Why? Because there's schemes and tricks and all kind of things that are already been formed to make you believe the narrative that they want to sell you. See, God is positioning his people to be at a place that we grow to the place that he says, I can put you on a hill now. I can set. That word set is to anchor. doesn't mean you're wobbly or if a wind blows that you'll just that you'll fall over. No, he's going to anchor the church into a hillside. Why that? Because people's going to be the sea. They're going to look up because looking down has not gotten them anywhere. So they're going to look up and they're going to see the church, and they're going to see the church that has risen to her finest hour to show his glory, because it's in us. And nations, there are going to be people that will come to the rising of our glory. The brightness of the rising. So don't believe the worst fall ever. Don't believe the rhetoric. Don't believe the people that has the bag that wants to say, hey, just do this and see how good it is, you know, and be tricked by what they're doing, what they're saying. Have the sharpness of mind about you that say, wait a minute, I'm gonna check this out. I'm gonna find out what's really going on. I'm gonna find out why this is this way. And I'm gonna find out what God is saying about it. I'm gonna find out what God is wanting me to do in it. Amen? What God is wanting me to do with it. Because in the end, that's our frame. This is the framework of our perspective. This Bible. So we're being led by the Word, and we're being led by the Spirit of God. That is framing how we see things. If you're not reading the Bible, and if you're not following the Spirit of God, not following the Word of God, your perspective is going to be by the news media or anybody else that you run across that's got a narrative that they want you to believe is true. Even though they use a rhetoric or an exaggerating point to maybe convince you. See, that's the world we live in. That's the reason we have to be wise as and gentle as doves. So God is in the process of equipping the church back in Ephesians chapter 4 again, equipping the church for the work of the service, and get us to be one and making sure that we're not divided. We need to make a bold statement. We will not be divided. We will not be divided. We will be one. We will be one. And bringing us to a place of practicing and living out the very attributes of Jesus Christ in our life. And that's what we talked about last week. Talked about coming to the fullness of Christ and the measure. Which measure are you going by? Which yardstick are you going to be measured by? Here's your yardstick. It's Christ. To the fullness of who he is. You know, that's the yardstick. And then we have to be able to do what it is that he said to do. You remember us talking about that? That if you only hear the word and not do the word that you heard, you will resort to reasoning in your own thinking and not measuring it by what God has said. And then we'll be faulty in our thinking, because we will not be verifying what he has said. Our lives should verify, substantiate God is alive. God, how many of you are born again? You know, that ought to be verified by your living, not just by what you said. How many of you have been delivered by, you know, not just from the darkness into the light? How many of you have been delivered from something? I mean, look all over the house. Why is that? Because he's the deliverer. And your living should be verified. And not only do you live, but you need a testimony about who he is and about what he does. And he wants us to do that, because every time we have the opportunity, we should share the goodness of God. Well, Corona's out there. Well, Corona. I mean, you know, I'm not making light of it. I'm just saying, Pastor John made a good point of this the other week. Every name will bow its knee to the name of Jesus. I don't care if whatever the next one's called, every name, whatever they name it, it has to bow its knee to Jesus. Every name, every knee will bow to him. Is that true or not? Now, why are we spending so much time on this passage? Because we're getting to the place of in Ephesians chapter 4. We're getting to the place, okay, I see all this training God's given me. I've seen all these people that God has put in my life. By the way, correction often comes before direction. Let me say that again. Correction often comes before direction. If all you're wanting is direction and you don't want correction, you may get the wrong direction. So if you cannot be corrected, if it offends you to be corrected, then you'll stay in the wrong direction. Does that make sense? Correction is not a bad thing. It's really not. Now, abuse is. But correction is not. Can you imagine me growing up without correction? I didn't even say imagine yourself. Can you imagine me growing up without correction? Wouldn't be here. Well, you're not going to tell me. I can imagine me telling my daddy when he was still alive. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't think so. I will after a while. As one child told us that was staying in our home, the parents left the child with us at home, and before they left, we asked a question. Brenda, you remember? And I said this. I said, can this child be disciplined by me while you're gone? They said, yes. Because if they had said no, I would have said, take him with you. Well, you may say, well, you know, that's just too hard. No, no. I just don't like a non-corrective attitude when children are doing something wrong. I'm not saying that it's always got to be discipline. But the father looked at the child and said, boy, if I was you, I'd do what he said. It turns out, you know, he did do what we said. He was jumping on the bed, though. And we said, don't jump on the bed. Scott knew better than to jump on the bed. And he talked his buddy that was staying over into jumping on the bed. So guess what? Who got the whipping? Both. Well, I'm not going to let my kids stay at your house. Listen, I'm not mean, but I do believe that unruliness needs to have correction. It doesn't have to be a whipping. It doesn't have to be anything. The reason Scott got a whipping on that is because he'd been told not to. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Am I talking to anybody here in this room that knows? I mean, I feel like I'm out on a limb or out on a walking plank, and I'm about to walk the plank and jump off because nobody's on my side, you know. But anyway, framing the perspective is truth. If it's not truth, then it's going to be a narrative that someone else is presenting. And it's going to bring you to the place that is not going to be from verse 14. He says, once all of this stuff happens and you submit and walk in this, learn how to become one, learn how to be equipped, learn how to be corrected, learn how to have unity, learn how to walk in the practice of the attributes of Christ. Once you learn this, verse 14 comes into play and it says, as a result, we are no longer to be children. No longer children. Everybody say, no longer. Doesn't mean you're not childlike. Childlikeness, he loves childish. He's not too fond of that. No longer. Wouldn't you like to say no longer? No longer will I be childish. Wouldn't that like to be something that not only that you say, but you're able to live out and walk? No longer am I going to be childish. No longer children. Well, what's wrong with being children? What's wrong? See, this is like, this word children is like a baby, an infant. No longer infants. No longer babies. Wanting their way. Crying till they get their way. See, if you haven't pushed past where you currently are, you haven't grown. Since you've been born again, if you've been born again 10 years and you're still at the same place spiritually as you were that day, you're still an infant when it comes to your spiritual walk. Does that make sense? Yeah. And we have to do that pushing by obeying. You have to obey. You have to learn to obey. You have to learn to see it from another perspective, even though you don't understand it. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says this, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So when you're a child, what three things do you do? You talk like a child, you understand like a child, and you think like a child. So being a child influences how you speak, how you understand, and how you think. He said, but when I became a man, when I became grown up, when I grew up and matured, I did what? Everybody say, put away. I put away childish things. You ever seen grown people pout? You ever seen grown people sulk? Let me do this. Have any of you? No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. What is that? That's a childish thing. Why? I didn't get my way. Perspective. What is your perspective framed by? Your way or Yahweh? So he's dealing with this thing of immaturity, and he says you need to be able to understand, you need to be able to speak, you need to be able to understand, and you need to be able to think more than in a childish way. It needs to be more mature. Y'all with me? Yeah. Yeah. Put away means to stop the activity of. That's when he says no more, no longer. Will my behavior be childish? Am I speaking to anybody here? Raise your hand if I'm speaking to you. Okay. Then he says, put it away because it has no value any longer to me. when childishness, listen to me, when childishness still has a value to you, you are being influenced by manipulation. And then you become, instead of a person who walks with God, you walk as a person who manipulates others with your childishness. And that's manipulation. Amen? It is true. It's true. So we don't need to be manipulated by other people's childishness. That's the reason I said take a firm stand, tell them what to do, and especially when it's your kids, you know, and then if they disobey, there should be a punishment for that disobedience. Whatever that punishment is, I'm not telling you what it's got to be, but it needs to be a punishment for a disobedience. Otherwise, they're going to take disobedience doesn't mean, I mean, I can, they don't, what they say don't mean anything. Exactly. When you say something and you live up to what you said, they will grow up to be real secure in what you say. They will believe you when they're older. But if you say something to them, I don't know why I'm saying all, but if you say something to them that all, and you don't live up to your part after you've told them that you'll do, then they will grow up saying, well, you can't pay attention to daddy. He lied to me all growing up. You can't pay attention to mama. Why? Because she said she did. She never did that. Put away childish things. Here's another one that says, Galatians 4 says this, now I say as long as the heir is a child, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from that of a slave. You can own it all and still be in bondage. Why? Because you're still a child. Even though he owns everything, but verse 2, but he is under guardians and managers until the day that the Father has set. So also we, while we are children, we are held in bondage. Don't be a child. He said you're held in bondage under the elementary things of the world, the ABCs of the world. Has got you. Why is that? Because your perspective is of the world and it's framed how you see things and how you do things because I'm going to stay a child. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kids. Anyway. Sorry. While we were children, we're held in bondage in the things of the world. In other words, this thing says it's my way, and this thing it says, while you're childish and while you still have a perspective of being a child, you are in bondage and you're in slavery, and you will not experience freedom until you... Because Jesus said this, it is for freedom that Christ set you free. A setting free is you getting out of jail. You're getting, hey, I'm out of the darkness. He got you out of the darkness. Why? For freedom, for you to learn how to be free, how to live free. One more. And I, brethren, talking to whom? Brothers and sisters. Could not speak to you as a spiritual people. Watch this. This is in 1 Corinthians 3, 1. I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, fleshly. They're brothers and sisters, but they're carnal. He said, because you're babes, as babes unto Christ. I couldn't give you meat. He goes on and says, I had to feed you with milk and not solid food. Until now, you are not able to receive it. Even now, you're not able to receive it. Why? You still want to be a child. And the little ones have to get milk. Then he goes on and he says this. He said, you're not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able, for you are still carnal. And how does he know? How does Paul know that? How does he know one's a babe and one's growing up? How does he know that? Voila, the Bible answers it. The next verse. For while there are envy, strife, and divisions among you. Envy, strife, and divisions are still among you. Are you not behaving like mere men? See, he was looking at their behavior. That's what he could give one milk, but he couldn't give the meat on this one because they'd choke. The milk ones, they would choke on it. They couldn't handle it. I don't want to hear it. Y'all with me? Envy. It's an effort to outdo another's achievements. Effort to outdo another's achievement, and it make another achievements, and it makes war upon their good to try to diminish it. It makes war on somebody else's good to diminish it. That's what envy does. Whew. Strife. It means to bicker and to argue without regard to peace or reconciliation. That's strife. Strife. To bicker and to argue without any regard to peace or reconciliation. Division is a lack of oneness, and it's to lose the same care that you have one for the other, that the Bible says. Have the same care one for the other. And when we lose the same care, you have divisions. So it's time to move on. It is time to grow up. It is time to respond. It is time to arise and shine. Amen. Amen. If you believe that, stand to your feet. Liz, if you'll come up. See, what we have here is not the failure to communicate. What we have here is a failure to be able to be framed by the truth you've been given. When you hear truth, you should be framed and adjusted by that truth. When you heard about the truth of salvation, what did you do? You got adjusted by that truth, and your framework began to change. And that's what we continually have to do as we grow to arise and be set, because really, the church is going to shine brightly on this hill. Regardless of how dark it gets, the church is going to shine brightly on this hill. That's you, me. That's the followers of Jesus. So we need to have that perspective, is that revival is coming. It's coming here, it's coming here, it's coming there, and it's coming all over. Why? Because the church is rising to shine. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Liz. Amen. Amen. They do a great job. Good job. They do a great job. Thank you, Liz. We have some awesome people teaching the children. Thank you, online streamers. Our streamers and dreamers, don't stop dreaming. Don't stop checking in with us. We just want to pray just for a moment. We'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you that you are still operating. You're still God, and you're still moving, and you're still doing things in our midst, even though we don't see it. But what we want to say today, what we ask you to do. Change our perspective when it's out of adjustment with you. Help us to see what you're seeing, to do what you're doing, and to say what you're saying. Lord, that we will make a difference and that the light that we present will be worthy of being set on the hill for nations to come to the brightness of our rising. When we ask you in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.